This is the truth of it. Fighting leads to killing, and killing gets to warring, and that was damn near the death of us all. Look at us now, busted up and everyone talking about hard rain. But we've learned by the dust of them all, Barter Town's learned. Now when men get to fighting, it happens here, and it finishes here. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Technopause this week on Destructomundo.
It's on, it's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
It reports, incredible as they seem, are not the results of mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Apparently they think we're imagining all this.
Destructomundo.
Witnesses to the effect that people who acted as though they were in a kind of trance were killing and eating their victims prompted authorities to examine the bodies of some of the victims. Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating the flesh of the people they murdered. Repeating this latest public just received comments from the public authority. Civil defense authorities have told you that murdered victims have no evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers.
Dum dum dum. Technopause. Explain technopause.
Yeah, you have to explain it.
Yeah, it's the concept of basically all the power going out and not coming back on.
Okay.
The end of modern technology. Return to the Stone Age, more or less. There's
so you're not just like the grid goes down, but.
Goes down for good.
But are you talking about anything that's electrically powered ceases to work?
Yeah.
So nothing battery-powered works?
I don't know if that's really included, but I think you would have to, if you wanted to include it in a like an apocalyptic scenario, I would think that you would have to conclude that any electrical functioning would have to cease.
Okay.
So...
Because, I mean, it would be horrific and catastrophic enough, like, just if the power grid...
Right.
Permanently crashed.
Right. Nobody's got flashlights or anything like that.
But I mean, like, if you've got no...
Yeah, even if you did have a flashlight.
Yeah, but then, like, yeah, and you'd still have, like, battery-powered stuff, you know, for
I mean, gasoline-powered generators wouldn't
Right.
For a while, you know, until...
Adam's here. we started the show a little earlier before Adam could get here tonight and... Adam was eating lasagna.
No, I mean, yeah. So like, if yeah, be one thing. I said, be bad enough. You know, like if the power grid goes down, and then you have like no way of getting. You know, no way to power anything that runs off of an outlet, or anything that's you know. Powered and externally, that's the word I was trying to think of.
Right.
That'd be bad enough, but then, yeah, if you have the complete, the total concept that I guess we want to discuss is like that everything that's electrically powered in any way somehow for some reason ceases to function.
Yeah, it would basically be
a succession of all digital
equipment, like an EMP. Like a worldwide EMP.
Yeah, something like that. Just fries everything.
Then we'd all just go back to steampunk.
That's exactly right. I mean, it would create a radical change.
I predict
fundamentally.
I predict a lot of fires.
Right.
A lot of not like good fires, like a lot of out of control fires, burning stuff down.
Sure, because think about like everything just all of a sudden stopping.
Because people are going to need fires like for warmth, for light,
right.
To cook. And then most people don't know much about like actually,
yeah, how to start a fire,
properly making a fire,
yeah,
like making a fire and then fire safety on how to control a fire. So I see a lot of people like hunkered in their houses building fires in their living rooms,
yeah, because they're so used to being in there to
What do we do?
And
here, you
know? Setting the building on fire.
Right.
Well,
right.
Every winter somebody asphyxiates themselves on with a outdoor smoker or oven or something in their garage. Or
oh, sure. They try to like do the turkey inside the boiling peanut oil gas turkey inside.
Or they'll just have those 55-gallon drum like heaters that are supposed to be for like. You know, like a covered carport or
well,
maybe a garage.
Right. I mean, but if you, you know, you can get it like a propane stove would work still, so you'd have propane. There'd be.
Does that put off carbon monoxide?
Yeah, I would be sure it does, but I'm not, you know, I would think in the burning process it would have to. Because it's using oxygen. It can't burn without oxygen. It's not. So as it burns oxygen, it creates carbon dioxide.
Is there anything electrically powered on a propane stove?
Well, there's the igniter, but you could bypass that with a match. You could just get it lit. A lot of people that don't have like a decent propane stove can light it with the match. You know, of course, it has the piezoelectric starter too. Yeah. You know, kind of like the ones that start those lighters. I don't know that that stuff wouldn't work. I'm just saying, it is a concept. If there were like a alien entity or a domestic entity.
Or someone killed the god of electricity.
Right.
Ready Kilowatt?
Ready Kilowatt got killed and then like electricity stops. Isn't That's exactly it.
I think he's the god of electricity.
Ready Kilowatt, man. I remember Ready Kilowatt. Remember he was on stuff and then all of a sudden he's gone? He's gone, like, we don't have any good cartoon characters for electricity anymore.
Is that that bee that buzzed around?
No, he's the guy with the. He's kind of got a weird.
His body was kind of like a red lightning
bolt.
Like
a lightning bolt.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He had the light bulb head. Yeah. Ready Kilowatt, dude.
Yeah. Telling you not to put a fork in the
don't stick your
wall
finger in
socket.
Light sockets and stuff like that.
Don't lick the wall socket like your brother
don't
told
don't
you
like
to.
Unscrew the light bulb and then stick your finger in there and you know, lick it. You know
to see what'll happen. Don't
but yeah,
science
yeah.
At
if,
home.
If something, yeah. You're saying something about a domestic entity.
Yeah, domestic entity
or foreign
maid,
entity.
A giant
foreign
maid.
Entity. Yeah, right.
Well, my butler.
What would it be like?
My butler did it.
A human force.
Yeah.
Right. But who would do that? I mean, I don't know. If you could localize it to one area, sure. I would imagine if something was made like that, it could be done. Like the electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear explosion causes...
Some sort of solar flare.
Right. If it were caused by an external force like the sun...
Atmospheric thing.
Like polarized...
Cosmic radiation...
Cosmic rays, which are the the greatest ever thing you can have.
Cosmic
happen to
rays,
you
gamma rays, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Neutrinos, quarks. I don't know. I'm just
neutrinos are a breakfast cereal. No,
no. He's the
mean?
He's the basketball coach.
That's right.
That's something.
Rick Neutrino.
Something. When you get problems, you know, with all that, cosmic radiation and...
Well, yeah, if you had, like, the sun freaked out and, like...
X-ray pulses from deep space.
The magnetic poles shifted. I think that's actually part of the scenario, is that the magnetic poles switch so that everything electrical stops working the way it's supposed to because the poles switch. Although, I don't think it really would. I mean... It'd be like the, you know how you used to be able to get stompers?
No, you open the thing up and you turn the batteries around and put them
like
back.
Yeah, like stompers. Like you could get them to run backwards because...
So it's like
you
open everything up. Yeah, you open everything up, you put the positive in where the minus sign is.
Right.
You just got to turn the batteries around and all your stuff.
Little that's stomper trucks, man. You put
and
the
then,
batteries
I remember
in backwards
like
and roll
being able to
right
do that.
And
like
every turbine,
you could do that
you just
to...
have to... Turn back.
Like the old tape recorders,
and if you
they
have,
would record really slow or something.
Right,
and
right.
If you they record demon voices when
you
right.
When you record back.
And if you do that to your TV remote, it sucks the TV channels into your.
I've been
remote.
Thinking about actually backmasking the podcast because it's so easy nowadays to play things in reverse. But you ever try to play things in reverse on your record player when you were a kid? Like it was all like it would scratch the crap out
of
it.
You know what you can do
now? Destroys your stylus.
Because it aims a little angled, you know.
We could just get like Audacity or something and record 20-minute shows and then just
do them in reverse.
Play them in slow motion, but it would be in the same pitch, so it just sound like we're talking really slow.
Yeah. Or we could speed them up and send them out as burst transmissions.
Actually, the recorder,
you get the whole show in like
the recorder
a
I
6 second burst
can slow the pitch or raise the it can raise or lower the speed at which playback occurs. Mm. And if you raise it, it doesn't sound different. It just sounds like the words are being squished together, like everybody's talking really fast. Mm-hmm. Until you get up to a certain level, then it starts turning chipmunk. But if you do it the same degree down, it sounds like everybody's really drunk. So, because everybody's kind of talking like this. It's really screwed
And we
up.
Wouldn't be able to do any of that if all the power went out.
Right.
All
no.
The electricity went
The podcast out. Would be over. We'd have to...
We'd have to do it live.
We'd have, to, do it, we'd have be, to do it I'd with be, our steam recorder is what we'd have to do.
Steam. Wax tracks.
Wax tracks. You're right.
Like in those wax cylinders with the...
Well, the Russians had that whole deal. Like, in Russia, totally off subject, but not really. Well, then, like, in the fact that technology is not in the hands of everybody, but, like...
In Russia.
I was going to make one of those
Record
jokes,
player
yeah.
plays you. No, not, but, like...
I was going to make one of those, what's his name, Yakov jokes.
Yakov Smirnoff, right. Yes. But he had... in Russia, they didn't have... Like, rock and roll got big just like it did everywhere else, and instead of being able to go and buy a record, because of course it's all subversive and, you know, rebellious, they didn't allow it, but like some made it in anyways. And what they would do is somebody would have a record and they would make copies of the record onto old x-rays, because the film that they make old x-rays off is thick enough. They made basically the same thing you used to be able to get in the magazines.
Those flexi discs.
The flexi discs. Yeah. And they would make those and give them out to people so they could play them. And they only lasted about a month. And then they'd be totally worn out and you couldn't play them anymore. But, you know, imagine that. I mean, you're living in Russia. You can't get a hold of any records because there's no good record stores anywhere. And then you end up with, like, this, you know, disc that you have to be... You know, you have to save it for special occasions to play it, because you're going to be like, man, I'm going to play that tonight when I'm going to get some, you know, booty going on and stuff. Then I got to play it just out of, you know, whenever I feel like
that,
it, you know.
That FlexiDisc bootleg. Of
right, well, it makes everything a lot more immediate, which may be the real key to this is that...
That FlexiDisc bootleg of Supertramp's Breakfast in America.
That's right, man. When you got to hear it, you got to hear it then. You know,
I've only got 10 listens and then it melts.
But, yeah.
You got to punch your own hole in it. Find the center.
Oh yeah. That's
oh funny. Shit. Well, it's like the
anyway.
Yeah, it's like tape self-destructing. You know.
Yes.
On
like Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. Yes. Right.
Steam.
Which I think is
stim.
You know, because it always screwed up the tape
stim
recorder.
Punk.
And tape recorders
minced up stim punk.
Tape recorders aren't cheap in the '60s, man. They were a couple hundred bucks, you know, easy for a tape recorder in the '60s. And you know, one that was portable, one you could pick up and walk around with. It had batteries.
Portable meant under 100 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, but
two men could lift it.
They kept like
fit in the back seat of a car.
Blowing them up. Every episode, and there are that's our government at work, man, just spending money, freewheeling, blowing up tape recorders every chance they got. You know, it's totally screwed up. It's tax dollars at work. But yeah, that's essentially, yeah, the concept of there being no more technology. What we have today is gone. So,
I have a lasagna injury.
Did you burn yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, did the cheese or what was it? Sauce.
I only have one pot holder, and I was using a towel, and of course my hand found where the towel wasn't.
Oh, yes.
Right on the bottom of the.
See, that's what you have to worry about with all the steam powered stuff. Is
oh yeah,
getting burned.
Yeah, I mean
steam power. You don't want to fuck around with steam, trying to steam power stuff.
Oh right,
if you don't
right.
know what you're doing, yeah.
Well,
so I don't think too many people are going to be building like steam turbines in their basement.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there an entrepreneurial person could come up with a way of developing a steam-powered system and then put us back on the grid, you know, to a paid system.
And you could sell steam turbines for women and goats.
One for domestic and one for pleasure.
Pleasure goat?
Wow. So you could,
steam-powered dildo.
You could.
That would be dangerous. I don't think that
would. That would be dangerous.
Just hire somebody to stoke it.
Faster, faster.
So there's a big boiler on the other.
Got a boiler on the other side.
So there's a boiler over here.
A guy with a big shovel.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
A lot of work.
Steam power is an option.
Be the steampunk version of the fucking machine.
Steam power is definitely a viable option, I think, long term. But yeah, most people would have no idea even how to begin to construct, steam turbine. And then, like I said, if you think you know how to do it, all we gotta do is boil some water, and then it's pressurized, and like if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna fucking blow stuff up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that. But
well, the point would be like most people would die off very quickly from their own just idiocy.
Yeah, I said there's a lot of people burning shit down.
Right,
it's gonna be a lot of out of control fires,
trying to get the electricity
like entire
back on
cities on fire.
Right, and there not being anybody because
you think
able
about
to
it, like
because
like I said, like somebody. Builds a fire in their backyard.
Right, and get out of control.
I'm saying best case scenario, they don't try to cook stuff in their living room over an open fire. Maybe they go in the backyard. Like I said, it's one thing to build a fire. Then they don't know, some people don't know how to do it right. They don't know about fire safety.
Right.
So the fire gets out of control. Then burns the house down. That sets the adjoining houses on fire. And then you think about it, when there's no electricity, how the fuck are you going to put a fire out when you don't have any way? What are you going to do?
Well, department can't be called.
So once you get a fire going, you're just going to have like an out of control. It's just going to be out of control, and there's going to be nothing.
Well, that's the thing. Modern life is geared around communication, and communication would essentially cease once the electricity goes off. So there wouldn't be any cell phones. There wouldn't be any telephones. There wouldn't be any of the modern conveniences that have put us at distance.
Pony Express. The Postman?
Who do you know with beasts of burden that can...
Not bicycles.
Bicycles are one thing, but a bicycle isn't going to, tow around...
Rickshaws, dude.
There's quite
the rickshaw industry.
In the city.
Well, yeah, here in Louisville, Kentucky, we do have... We do have a horse.
It's all the cop horses.
We do have the horse patrol. And there would be people that did have horses. But it's not as prevalent as it would have been 100 years ago.
No.
At the turn of the century, when you did have the
car
and the horse-drawn wagon in the same place at the same time, you don't have any of that anymore. And nobody really knows how to care for animals either. So if people were to get their own horses, where were they going to keep them at? They're going to have to get a stable just like they did.
In the garage.
In the garage.
Move the car out.
Because you don't have any use for the car anymore.
Well, the car's gone, right.
The garage.
Dog sleds.
And dog sleds.
Or dog carts.
Dogs. Yeah, you just put wheels on them in the summertime. The dog pulls you around. Wintertime, take the wheels off. It's a sled.
Like R-Gang.
it's like a big...
So it basically devolves into R-Gang as soon as the electricity...
after you burn the city down...
Because they never had anything electric on R-Gang, man.
The city's around.
They were playing with
the major city burns down. You're living in, outside the burned down remnants of what used to be the city. And it's like our gang, yeah. It's our gang in the suburbs because the city all burned down.
Only you're carrying shotguns and machetes and walking
around.
So
you've got big, giant dog sled on wheels. And 8 or 10 dogs pulling you around.
Oh, man, that's a return to Barbaria.
Yeah. So, you got that going. And you're going
unless
around.
You can't find good dogs, and then you have a bunch of... toy dogs trying to.
Oh, I thought you were going to say children.
It becomes Mad Max with dog sleds or dog wagons and stuff.
Dog cart, whatever.
2 days ago, I saw a cart that would hold.
But.
Tanka.
I saw a pack of dogs. Yeah, 2 days ago, I saw a pack of dogs that could haul that tanker.
Oh my God.
You could. There'd be an industry there for dog breeding. If you could breed the right kinds of dogs, you know how to you know.
Sure.
He could be the guy providing all the dogs for all the dog carts. And you could be the guy building the dog carts, you know? little armored dog sledge, you know, thing.
So like the armored, like the old armored stagecoach.
Oh yeah, because the thing is, like you wouldn't be on the back of it. There'd be like a cockpit that you're inside with like doors, and there's like a little slot where the reins come through, you know, working the dogs, you know. But there's like a cockpit, you know, it's all armored. And there's a little window for you. You're not gonna be standing on the back of it, dude. They'll shoot you in a minute and take your dogs and your goats and your women and all your stuff. But you gotta have like you
all
know
your
you gotta have like
and all your women are
you gotta have like the freight. There's gotta be like the compartment to carry stuff. But then there's like the little armored cockpit.
So
things.
Goats and women have become like the currency in this kind of well, society we've created from taking all the electricity away. Apparently,
what are the goats for?
Pleasure.
Well, goats. Goats are like one of the easiest livestock animals to maintain.
Right,
because
they eat trash.
Because yeah, they never get very big. Mm-hmm. So like things like cows and stuff, which can be, you know, so you don't need a lot of room for goats. They breed fairly easily. You know, they're easy to maintain a decent population. They will eat friggin' anything. I mean, any kind of plant life. So you don't have grains or anything.
I know billy goats eat tin cans. That's just the weirdest thing.
At least they do in cartoons. But yeah, so that's, you know, and then you can eat
drink
them
their milk.
And you can drink their milk. So I mean, you have to get
and
used
you
to
make cheese.
Yeah,
what
so,
a
I mean,
cheese. Chevre. I think that's how they say it.
So, I mean, I don't know where I first came. I know I've mentioned it in a couple of episodes, the goats and women thing, but in terms of livestock and that sort of thing, goats are one of the easiest things to deal with. And I mean, you know, you'd have to adjust to drinking goat milk and occasionally eating goat and all that stuff, but yeah, I mean, in that sort of situation, they're one of the, you know, because most people don't know anything about animal husbandry and livestock and all that stuff. But
apparently, the best thing to do with goat, if you're going to eat it and you don't want it to taste all gamey, is you soak it in milk. Like, well, in normal life, you'd soak it in the fridge in milk overnight mm-hmm. and change the milk a couple of times.
Yeah, there's no more fridge.
Apparently, that happened. That's true with all, like, game meat.
Hmm.
Soak it in milk and gets rid of the gaminess.
Cheese is a method of producing milk products that last without refrigeration, though. So cheese would remain like a staple part of the diet, I would believe, but like whole milk itself would probably have a reduced role in everyday life as far as food goes. And I mean, if you had your own animals, yeah, you could have a daily supply.
I think a lot of people might have like physical issues with drinking like actual untreated, like 100% natural milk right out of an animal.
Yeah, and also you're not going to have any of the pasteurization
I mean,
processes
yeah.
going on because most. Yeah.
I mean, in time, you know, you could adjust to it.
I mean, where this is really going to be a problem is someplace like urban environment, you know, with no electricity.
Well, like I said, they're all going to burn down. So.
Yeah.
And the Maasai will become like the superpower.
Yeah, those that know how to hunt
yeah,
and,
yeah.
with spears and bows.
They somehow survive on nothing but like meat and milk. And they're all really skinny.
Now, I heard somewhere that they were talking about the dawn of civilization being, of course, like the onset of agriculture. But they were... I read something that was talking of... It was written by the same guy that did Guns, Germs, and Steel, Jared Diamond.
Yeah.
He was talking about the fact that it's a myth that people live better than they did before agriculture. That we ate better, that we eat better now than we did then. And because we actually work much harder for the food we have now than they, you know, worked for when people were hunting only and or, you know, gathering berries and stuff like that. And that people have more leisure time as well. And that civilization may have occurred where people stayed in one spot, but culture came out of hunting because people had the time to learn to do things like sing and things like that and, other activities, you know, other than their work. Whereas, like, even a modern farmer, to a certain extent, works a 10 to 12 hour day at the hardest work you can do. And then, you know, eats a big hearty meal and goes to bed and does the whole thing the next day. I mean, that's a hard life. If you're, you know, a subsistence farmer and not just somebody who's working a corporate field with, you know, thousands and thousands of tractors or something like that. But, you know, for the most part, agricultural work is the hardest work you can do. Whereas hunting, people do that for pleasure. You know, go out and shoot a deer. And you think about that, man, a deer... If you shoot a deer and you're going to get it butchered, if you were to keep that entire deer, you would have meat for a while, even if you were feeding four or five people off of it, you know, as long as you could keep it fresh. So, you know, hunting would definitely be the way to go, in my opinion, rather than to go like the agricultural route. Because, I mean, who's got a yard big enough in this day and age, unless they live out in the country, to really feed their family? You know, off of what they grow. And who the hell knows how to grow corn or things like that, you know? I mean, yeah, you're going to find fields of corn that were there, you know, like by the sides of the road and stuff, but you can imagine that anybody who's got a field like that is going to eventually realize that they have to protect it, you know? And they're going to come after, you know, and figure modern-day equipment also for harvesting vegetables. You can't go out, you know, it took so long to harvest a field and to plant a field, you know, before the
That's what the slave children are for.
you think we'll have to go back to slavery?
Well, we won't have to, but...
but we'll want
to. I'm sure some people will seize the opportunity.
it'll be slavery.
Some enterprising souls will be like, look, there's all these hungry kids. I'm just putting them to work, you know? I'm giving them something to do.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm sure some evil bastard will seize upon the golden opportunity to impose their will ruthlessly like that.
Well, but there will definitely be overlords in a society without power, I'm sure. You know, people who have figured out a way to...
You'll wind up with some sort of weird, twisted feudalism going on.
Oh, right away.
So...
Because it'll be
I'll be the wild loner of the apocalypse in my armored dog cart. I'll be roaming the wasteland. Yep.
I've decided when the shit comes down.
Me and 8 or 10 fine dogs and my cool armored dog cart full of all my stuff and a couple of goats, a couple of women.
I'm just not going to have a name. I've decided if the shit comes down and I get to prowl the wastelands, I'm not going to have a name. That way nobody can go, have you seen that James guy around? Yeah. In case I did something wrong and somebody wants to know who I am.
They would
give
you a
name. Have
you
seen that one guy? Without the, you know, without the name? Yeah, but think about it, man. If you go to a new place, somebody asks you your name and you just don't answer them. They may have to
they'll just call you buddy. Hey, buddy.
Pal. They'll probably just hey, like pal. Call your most pronounced feature. You know.
Your most pronounced feature.
Well, yeah. Like I have red hair, so I'd be red right away. You know, I always hated that, but still.
Okay.
Red. You gotta be red.
So they wouldn't call you Dick.
Well, maybe. Don't.
Because that's not your most. The most hey, thumbs.
Hey. Lefty.
That's big toe. You guys like pop. You have the Popeye guy.
Chesty McBoing Boing.
Everybody have stripper names.
Yeah, pretty much.
In the apocalypse.
You get your everybody's going to be named Cherokee.
Yeah, I mean, everyone will reinvent themselves with porn star names after the car.
Everybody gets a stripper name. Destiny.
That's a
Cherokee.
All the women will get stripper names. All the guys will have porn star names. That's what the
Tits apocalypse. McGee.
That's what the apocalypse will be.
Oh yeah.
You'll introduce yourself by your porn star name.
So, what would be some of the tools that you'd want to, you know, basically have with you in circumstances to where
powers out, you know, mass chaos. Of course, the
an axe,
knives,
an axe would be good.
Nunchucks,
guns,
nunchucks,
katana.
Morning star, a flail,
a big bag of shuriken,
50 feet of rope, some iron rations,
bag of shuriken, ow, ow,
some cow bag,
a pillowcase full of shuriken, you throw it over your shoulder, ow.
I need something better to carry all my shuriken in, ow, then you get like a doctor's bag full of shuriken, wait,
like a ninja scroll, man,
lawn jarts,
they're shooting all the shuriken at the trees, it's like machine guns. Like, yeah. Everybody going,
at
the tree.
Well, I don't...
Crossbow.
You're talking about, like, you're putting together, like, your perfect toolkit for...
Well, obviously, firearms are still going to work, yeah. So, you know, if you can get them, get them.
Lightning rod.
Lightning rod.
I'm trying
to think. You really want torches if your flashlights aren't going to function.
I'd take a hooded lantern.
Yeah, actually, all joking aside, something like an oil lantern.
Yeah, railway lanterns.
One of those old school, like, little red lanterns that'll run on kerosene or
fat.
I say you can get.
Everybody's got fat.
You can get some of those
that they can spare to put in their lamp. Everybody,
you can find somebody.
Cough up some fat.
I say you can get those lanterns that'll run on like kerosene and lamp oil. You can run them on different types of liquid fuel. But yeah, actually that would be something that would be really handy because it's light and. It's something that's safe because you don't. Yeah,
are they the torches, directional ones? Or are they just the ones that are?
Most of them are just the regular exposed ones. You can get those.
But you could make that hood really easy. You just need some tin.
Well, you'd more than likely be able to find like hurricane lamps and things like that at a store. I mean, most of the stuff would be because
carry around one of those glass kerosene lamps.
Right, like the little like
with the wick.
Yeah,
like you're in some horror movie, like opening the door with a lamp. I'd say because torches I'd say like you're gonna have to rely on fire for your light, but you really want to try to avoid open flames as much as possible,
because
that's just asking for stuff like candles, like a friggin' torch. If you're using like old school angry
torches
mob torches,
like, yeah.
You're going to set shit on fire. It's just inevitable. You're going to be burning stuff.
Especially in the fall.
Yeah. So like,
if you're going to have torches, you got to have pitchforks. Torches and pitchforks. Nothing says angry mob like torches and pitchforks.
But yeah, actually a lantern. I'm drawing a blank on, but I've seen those. You can get the ones that you can run them on. They're sort of like you can get those camp stoves that run on like the white gas and kerosene and all the different liquid fuels. You can actually run them off of diesel fuel.
Oh, right.
You know,
those
multi-fuel stoves. But
that's exactly what they're called, a multi-fuel stove. They have multi-fuel heaters, too.
Yeah, but you can run them on a variety of different combustible liquids. But there's lanterns like that, too. And, yeah, you can make those, I guess, if you really want to go old school, you can make those fat lamps, that'll run... and they'll run on, like, different types of, like, cooking oils and stuff, too,
Right.
But, yeah, something like that, because it'll give you light, and it's a contained, reasonably safe thing. Because candles and torches, sure, they'll work in the short term, but you're gonna start fires with shit like that. So.
Well, also, I mean, touching on the fact that, like, all the...
Matches. You need lots and lots of matches.
Yeah, you want all the waterproof matches you can find. So, I mean, if you did find a store... You basically want to go through the entire store and get as much stuff as you could,
and clean it out. And load up your dog cart.
Because nobody, in an apocalypse like this, in a situation like this, this isn't necessarily the end of everything, but very soon it probably will be. The way that would occur, I think, is because of just the mass chaos of people being left to their own, to fend for themselves.
Followed by all the fires.
and the ever-present specter of everything catching fire. Yes.
There's mass chaos followed by the cleansing fires that will sweep the earth clean, burn it Yeah, so yeah, there's gonna be mass chaos. Once people stop killing each other, then everything will just burn to the ground.
Right. Well, I mean, there won't be any more debt because, like, all the places that have computerized, like, records are obviously not going
to
be able to
get stuff. Like, a crowbar would be good to have to get into places.
I wonder if the government actually has a contingency
to get stuff
to run the government in case of massive power outages and nobody.
Not on this scale.
I mean,
no.
Look at the fact that
major
New
blackouts.
Orleans,
yes, but not
New
on
New Orleans had no power and no water, and The government had no clue what to do, and people were obviously being herded to places where they could be kept in one spot. And for good reason, obviously. Mm-hmm. But. Even there were dead bodies, leaning up against the buildings, and people were having for hours and days have to be around corpses, which is just unheard of in this day and age because of the response time, for any kind of emergencies. And people don't know what to do, and they were running out of food, and it didn't happen everywhere in the state either. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Baton Rouge was still functioning, and they couldn't even get enough supplies to feed those people who hadn't fled. I mean, think about this on a national, even a worldwide scale, and you start to get the idea that, geez, everything is over. This is it. I mean, there is no more government. Mm-hmm. There is no more services. Utilities are gone. I mean, the only people that are going to be able to provide are those who are going to have to take from everyone. They're going to be the overlords and the people who amass power simply by just iron-fisted rule.
The humongous.
The humongous. That's right.
Duke of New York.
And the Duke of New York.
Yes.
These are your role models, people.
Because then you get...
Watch the movies, learn the way they do it.
Right.
I'm going to be the Duke of New York. So you can
be number one.
You can be your own version of the humongous. Whether or not you choose to wear the outfit is up to you.
Right. And obviously you're going to have to either ride a horse or a
bicycle.
Or you're
going to have the biggest friggin' armored dog cart of them all.
Like a giant tricycle.
Bicycle gangs, man.
No, because the humongous is going to have the giant.
Dude, okay,
he's
going to
have the giant
you.
Dog cart pulled by like 20 St. Bernards.
I'll tell you, Leland and the shit luck crew, all those guys, they get on their bikes and start terrorizing. I'm going to be on their good side because they're crazy. I mean, and all you got to do go to www.shitluck.com and check out some of the stuff that Leland and his crew has to offer. And yeah, they're going to survive. And in fact, they're probably going to be one of the groups of overlords that I'm talking about. Because these guys don't play. But yeah, groups of bike gangs riding around, terrorizing, taking what they want, stealing your women and goats.
Actually, really, really simple cars, like old cars would, if it was just electricity, old cards that were like still working would still work.
We were talking about that and the fact that both Derek and I own British sports cars that were made prior to solid state technology. And we both have point driven engines to where our distributors have no solid state technology. And we were trying to determine whether or not, like, an EMP or something that was, artificially made would stop such an engine. And I still haven't decided whether or not it would. Now, if it affected magnetism, yes, it would stop because it does rely on magnetism to function. But if it were something that fried circuitry, yes, it would still work.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, if it depends on what kind of scenario you have.
Like he was saying, like it would, in this sort of complete and total thing that we're talking about here, you'd obviously have problems with the starter motor.
Right.
But what about like a really, really old like hand crank car?
Right.
that in theory would still run.
Well, even a car with a...
Mad Max with Model A's.
Well, any car with an automatic transmission is going to be out, because pushing a car to get started with an automatic transmission is nigh on impossible. You can't even do it with a good size hill. Because of the way that the engine turns over from the transmission, it has to go backwards through the the torque converter, and it just can't turn the engine over. I've heard it being done, but it's under extreme circumstances on extremely hilly streets.
But
can't really even.
But any manual transmission can be started by pushing it.
Yeah.
Even the ones that like have the quote unquote theft deterrent that you have to have your.
Well, then we're talking about a car that obviously has a solid state setup.
Yeah.
Anything modern.
You have to have, because I had a car that we tried to pop the clutch on, and it had the quote unquote theft deterrent that you had to have your foot on, you know, the clutch fully engaged to start it. And
Yeah, I think, the stuff like ours, yeah, you could always push start them, but.
Right.
But yeah, then also, yeah, like, because theoretically the starter motor would be.
Well, I used to have a motorcycle that my motorcycle for a while didn't have a battery.
Yeah.
Like, I had a 400 Suzuki, and it was a great little trail riding bike, and you could take it anywhere, and great for back alleys and stuff. But, you know, I push started that bike when I broke four kickstarts. Mm-hmm. On that motorcycle, because I kept breaking them trying to get it started, and it was just a bear to start anyways. But yeah, whenever I would break a kickstart and I'd go for a couple of weeks without a kickstart, I'd push start, and it didn't have an electric starter on it, so I was forced to. And it, you know, it ran and it functioned without having a kickstart or a battery. So
I guess, yeah, there's some old school motorcycles would work.
So yeah, if indeed fully, like some things would work, yeah, you could get machines up and running again. I mean, it would just depend on the amount of serviceable skills you had available to you. You know, if you did, you know, because obviously people who would be able to work on equipment like this are going to be a handful of people anyways, compared to the mass population. Who don't know how to work on anything. It apparently in today's day and age, it's not like to learn how to do repairs is considered like a secondary skill. Whereas, like, I know when I went to school, there were several shop classes that you could take, and they were offered as electives.
Suddenly, shop nerds become the coolest guys.
Exactly,
on
but no, you can't even find a school that has shop. Unless it's a vocational
shop
school.
Nerds are gods on earth.
So if you make a whatnot shelf, you can rule.
I made a wicked nickel board.
But that's pretty much it, though. I mean, you're going to have
anybody that has sort of like actual hands-on sort of those vocational skills for making things, fixing things, all
tinkers,
that, you know,
tinkers.
Yeah,
and,
or they'll be made slaves.
Or they'll be made slaves.
So everybody else will, or food.
Yep.
Fuel for lamps. Lamp fuel.
I mean, I'm not going to delude myself that there won't be cannibalism.
Oh, of course there'll be cannibalism.
There better be cannibalism.
You render the fat for your lamps.
Yeah.
So all those,
you need soap.
You need your
all those all those damn obese people.
That's where you get your soap from.
Because you know they can't run.
Yeah. We'll be turning them into lamp oil.
I'm thinking that the whole thing now, it seems like like it would be more likely that something would happen to like that would say like short out all the transistors so that all the complicated electrical things wouldn't work.
Right,
and
anything
say, like a flashlight.
Essentially solid state, anything that had a circuit board or a printed circuit or anything that was based on microcircuitry. Anything based on a solid state, because there you have your analog systems and your solid state systems. And solid state systems are more vulnerable to magnetic disturbances and EMPs.
Yeah.
Anything like that is going to cause a real problem in those kind of in those pieces of equipment because they're so sensitive. I mean, a microchip can melt. I mean, it really takes a lot to do it. But if you basically took the fan off of your motherboard or off of your chip, it would sit there and just fry until it shorted out. And then you could never fix something like that. You could never get it to function. And something that was based on wires and running to like a mechanically driven electric providing, like a distributor in a car.
Yeah, I was gonna say like there's also like the possibility about these, you know, tinkerers and nerds and stuff. I guess presumably it's not like this, you know, permanent thing. So you'd have those people that were capable of, like, it's not terribly difficult to construct a rudimentary electrical generator. So actually, I mean, you could, if you were living someplace, you know, you could getting the basic parts, either using like wind power or water power for the rotational thing.
Yeah.
Where you get like the magnets wrapped in the copper wire and they rotate, you know, past one another, and you can actually generate a current, like a really simple sort of electrical dynamo like that. And you could run wires.
Well, water would be the easiest way to do it.
You know, and you could run wires from that, and you could rig up lights fairly easily, you know, if you just get the sockets and the bulbs, you know, and it would be difficult trying to make your own light bulbs, obviously, but presumably, you know, all that stuff is still functional. There just needs to be a power source for it.
We could use bicycle.
You
just need somebody to pedal.
Like hand crank generator.
Hamster wheels.
Used to have in gun parts catalog.
Yeah, yeah.
It was basically like a bicycle thing, but it was like...
You can get those like World War II and Korea War era, you know, hand crank generators. But even if you wanted to make one, like you could, if you have a fairly decent understanding of all that stuff, to make like a sort of like a water wheel or a rudimentary wind-powered electrical generator. It's not a hugely complicated thing. I mean, the thing is, like, obviously something that crudely constructed is not terribly efficient, so you're not going to be able to run much of it. But like I said, you could maybe rig up like lights or something like that, electrically powered.
Providing that there was the ability to make electrical power. I tended to go with the once you've gotten the basis down for creating electrical power, you could basically turn the grid back on. So the fun scenario would be that there's no electrical power anymore. You know, even under circumstances to where, because if you could get the computers back on, obviously you could, you know, get everybody paying their bills again. Bills are for chumps.
No, I mean, I'm just assuming like if all that stuff's kind of fried, but like kind of starting over.
Right,
like
if you could get like electrical lights and just really simple things like that.
Talking about. It, like, you know, that kind of stuff is conceivable, and obviously that's a million years, you know, from getting the grid back up. I'm talking about like building a water wheel in a stream to get, you know, couple of watts or something to run some lights off of.
I mean, the whole thing would be like Gilligan's Island, man. You'd have the radio, and you got to keep
coconuts.
Yeah, you got to get the coconuts out and like
the saltwater batteries
make
and
the
all
saltwater batteries.
All that crazy shit. No, but
and everything is powered by somebody on like an exercise bike.
But then if you're really talking like completely that there's no power, no sort of electrical power whatsoever, then obviously, like I said, you're going to need a lot of fire to do stuff. So
right, you're going to have like,
you need shitloads of matches, because obviously a Zippo would still work. I say a lot of the fancier
flint powered fire. I mean,
yeah, I say like a lot of the, you know, the fancier lighters that have the piezoelectric starters won't work in theory,
right?
But a good old Zippo, I mean, most disposable, you know, the disposable Bic and everything, they're okay. But
well, yeah, and there's also
hoard
the
those hoard matches, flint and steel works.
Well, you can you know, get a lot of stuff that's already been made to work, you know, and continue to work in a different form than it used to work. Obviously, you're going to be able to, you know, take like a truck or something like that and put, you know, once you pull the engine out of it, it doesn't weigh nearly
just,
as much.
And then you just hook up a bunch of dogs.
You know, you hook up your dogs.
Or goats.
Or goats. Or goats. Or women.
Or women. Or women pull you around. All right.
Or slave children. It just takes more of them, but they're younger, so they've...
But obviously there's going to be people who are more prepared for something like this because they don't live on the grid. You know, they're used to, you know, being away from technology. They're used to being...
But, yeah, but they're off by themselves, and they'll continue to be off by themselves.
Right. They're not the kind of people that would rise up and, you know, take the reins of...
Or
leadership.
Or be the new Messiah.
Right. And rule us all.
I don't think so. They'll all be out there in the Republic of New Freeland doing their...
Well, it does offer a lot of strange and opportunistic scenarios for people who are willing to, you know, move around a landscape like this and actually, you know, try to exploit those who don't know what they're doing and they're ready for anybody to be their leader. You know, somebody who can offer them, you know, the kind of lifestyle they had before where basically they paid their bills, they got what they got, and they went on with their lives. You know, somebody, if they can do, you know, minimal work.
Yeah, so you'll have a lot of people who will, like, who will agree to do some really unpleasant job so that they have a place to sleep every night and some food to eat.
Right.
And feeling reasonably safe.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be slavery. It can
if you have some sort of like compound or something, you have some place, mm-hmm. and there are people in there, and they feel like, you know, I can sleep here at night, and nobody's going to cut my throat to steal all my shit. You give them that, and you give them like two decent meals a day.
Two.
Well, I mean, it's like I'm talking, you know, this, it's hard times.
I know. It goes like that.
You give them that. You give them a place to sleep and feel reasonably safe and a regular source of food where they're not like scrounging or hunting, you know, having to gnaw a barely cooked squirrel or something for food. You know what I mean? You give them all that.
Or eating whatever they can find out in the woods.
Eating bugs or whatever. Yeah, I mean, like, you give them that. Because that's some resemblance of the life that they knew beforehand.
Right.
In exchange for that, they will probably do whatever the hell you want. You could put them to work doing some really unpleasant job that was productive and profitable for you if you provided them with those basic things. So, yeah, if you set up some sort of weird post-apocalyptic industry, whatever it is.
And of course, there would have to be, like, arena warfare.
Fighting. Maybe it is, like, I mean, obviously, like animal stuff would be, you know, maybe it's just the tending of the animals. You know, your horses or your cows or your goats or your dogs or whatever. Or, you know, your assembly line for making armored dog carts.
Yeah, they help to put the wheels on.
And with horses, you'd have cool chariots too. Making your
Boy Scout chariots,
or your fat rendering factory for making lamp oil. You could have them working there. Yeah. So I mean, you give them, you know, because there are people that are going to be like that. They're going to want just mundane routines and some semblance of security
and entertainment, which brings us to arena fighting, because you have to have something like the Thunderdome. Basically, you have to have like conflict resolution. It has to be hand-to-hand combat within a area that people can watch the conflict taking place, because that's entertainment when the power goes off. People fighting in an arena. You know, it's bread and circuses, man. You offer that to people, and they'll do anything you want. So, yeah, you get, like, basically the people's court turns into arena fighting. I'm surprised that nobody's done that so far. Like, instead of the people's court, like, you basically have, like, two guys, like, fight it out.
For years, I have said The way that men resolve conflict is should be like a steel cage death match. That should be the way to settle things. Everything should be resolved in a steel cage death match. So if you steal another man's woman or goat, or you know,
you go in the steel cage.
That's or he
break
acute,
a deal.
He accuses you. He accuses you of attempting to steal his woman or his goat or something, and then you go into the cage, and whichever one lives is right. You know that's her. You know that's the harsh way of things.
Hey, that's a point, though. I mean, about the power. When you're talking about bust a deal, face the wheel, like in the Thunderdome city,
Bartertown.
Yeah, in Bartertown. Yeah, who rules Bartertown?
Who runs Bartertown? Yeah, it's all methane power.
Yeah, it's all methane power from pig shit. Pig shit.
Yeah. See, and that's as horrible a movie as that is, but that's what we, you know, some enterprising individual that knows how to set up, you know, a methane power plant. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Like,
right.
You know, somebody who figures out, like, we can...
And they basically controlled society simply by the fact that they had all the pigs that produced all the waste that powered everything in the town. Yeah. So they had a similar situation to what we're describing.
So whether, you know, you have methane or like we were talking about with steam, like if somebody knows how to do that and can set up, you know, a steam turbine to generate electricity.
Right. You know. Oh, I do got to tell the story that Harfer and Beanie was telling me about this once. He called up to TV station, local station that had like a call-in show, and they were talking about like Mel Gibson when he was doing Passion of the Christ, and he got on to the show and he was saying like, I saw the Mel Gibson movie, and I just, you know, I really walked away from it with a, you know, clear message from the movie. It really touched me. It made my life, you know, very different. You know, he kept referring to it as that Mel Gibson movie, but he kept doing it to debate him. He was like, oh, that Mel Gibson movie really, you know, touched me in its message. You know, and finally they took the bait and said, well, what kind of message did you walk away from with it? And he said, two man enter, one man leave. And then went, who rolls Bartertown? And they, like, cut him off. Well, he made it on live television doing that, and that's got to count for something.
Yeah, but that is. I didn't think about that because I try not to think about that movie. But yeah, that's a case of like someone with that ability, you know, and setting up an industry like that, and suddenly, you know, you're the man, you know, you're the one that provides all that stuff,
right?
And
right.
You're a force to be reckoned with in terms of, you know, your power and influence and stuff. Because there are people that, you know, most people don't want to wander the wasteland, you know, free of responsibility and all that stuff. You know, they want routine, they want security, they want, you know.
Well, right, yeah, they want all those things.
Yeah.
And the only
you set up some semblance of that civilization that they knew and the routine.
So even if you're a midget and a retard.
Yep.
And you ride around on his back.
But yeah,
I
mean, that
rule
yeah.
over the wasteland.
Yeah, that. So, me, I'm up for the dog cart and roaming the waste. You know,
I'm gonna be the fat merchant.
So
fat merchant, Adam.
I'm gonna be like the monks in Canticle for Leibowitz.
How's that?
Looking for hold up in my monastery and
looking for the recipe or the grocery shopping list.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Well, the first one was a blueprint.
Yeah, that's right. They just looked at like old like things and didn't know what they meant, but they would make them out to be like humongously important religious documents.
But they were the last repository of technical and scientific knowledge,
even though
they didn't know it.
There's so much of this scenario that we haven't touched on. And if you have any suggestions, please email us at destructomundo@gmail.com. We're throwing all our promos for other shows here at the end of the episode instead of the middle this time. But I do want to welcome and invite all of our listeners who come from the Escape Pod podcast that we're that Escape Pod was so kind to put our promo on their show. They're a very, very popular show, and we welcome all our new subscribers from coming from them. And just if anybody has any suggestions about the show or just want to make a comment, please email us, destructomudo@gmail.com. And let us know what you think.
Damn it.
Send us pictures of yourself if you're hot.
And don't send pictures of yourself if you're not hot.
We have never had anybody send pictures of themselves.
It's because we never asked for it, did we?
Except for the guy that sent us the truck. Tim Gillen that sent us the truck pictures.
I never saw
from,
that.
They were the great, like...
oh, yes, I understand.
The big semi, like, of the apocalypse, the big, like, it was bigger than normal. It had more wheels behind the cab, and it was just, like, it looked almost armored, and it was really, really cool. So, Tim, thanks for sending that to us, and, there's a whole lot of email that has been backing up. And that we keep meaning to read on the air. And there's a few things that I wanted to go over before we shine off for the evening. And one of them is to our good friends in Australia. We want to wish you... we're grieving along with you, man. I mean, we were totally down. Crocodile Hunter was the big guy for us. You know, we loved him too.
So shit. And Peter Brock died last week.
Oh, yeah?
Australian motorsport legend.
Oh, Peter Brock, right.
Most people here don't know him, but that's a big deal. Here it would be like, you know, Richard Petty or something.
Sure.
But he died actually in a race. He's not as old as Richard
Petty. I heard that on the news. How did he end up?
It was a tarmac rally somewhere outside Perth.
Right, right.
That's a big deal, actually. In Australia, that's a big deal.
So we want to send our condolences out to our friends from down under over the losses that they've had to suffer through in the last few weeks, and we are going to miss them too. So Steve Irwin was a hell of a environmentalist and a conservationist, and it's a really sad loss that he's gone. You know, hopefully his people will keep up what he's been doing and the zoo will stay open and it'll remain as popular as it was while he was still alive. But we just want to send best wishes out to everybody there. So, well, that's, I guess, the end of the show tonight. So from James.
Adam.
Ted.
And James.
It's been Destructive Mundo. Good night.
From my spider hole in Gilbert, Arizona, this is the Truth Seekers Podcast. I'm Danny, your host, moderator of the Truth Seekers message board on Rise.com, and legend in her own mind, inviting you to join me as I continue my search for truth in audio form. Each episode, you will get headlines from different places around the internet world, along with commentary, interviews, and guests, all geared towards widening your perspective and guiding you in your own endless search for truth. Come on over to audioaddict.libsyn.com and join me here in the spider hole. Trust me, there is room for all seekers here, but no room for closed-mindedness.
My name is Jack Ward, and I'm host of the most inclusive club on the net, the Sonic Society. Each week we meet and listen to the very best radio drama has to offer from the 21st century. You'll hear works from all the great innovators of audio cinema. Podcatch us at www.sonicsociety.org.
This is an update from GSG, the Geek Survival Guide. Today's tip: if you find yourself abducted by aliens, do not panic. Statistics show that over 92% of alien abductees are eventually returned with no lasting physical damage. You may not be returned in your own time period, and there may be some intervening probing, but chances are good you'll get back to Terra Firma more or less intact. And ask for names. If they invade, placing themselves within the jurisdiction of our earthly courts, you could be looking at a huge cash settlement. For more geek survival tips, visit the Geek Survival Guide at gsguide.blogspot.com. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Have you ever wondered what is the connection between science fiction and philosophy? Do you ever wonder, am I really just a battery in a machine? What is a worldview anyway? Are my memories really real? Can I have free will if the pre-crime pre-cogs know the future? If you answered yes, no, or maybe to any of the previous questions, then the Sci-Fi Show is for you. The show that deals with those interesting questions about life, the universe, and everything, as found in science fiction. And no, the answer is not always 42. The Sci-Fi Show, a 20-minute fortnightly podcast, putting the philosophy back in sci-fi. For more information, go to thescifishow.blogspot.com. And that's Phi with a PH.
How's the rig? The rig! How is she?
Got a cracked timing case cover and it's broken a couple of teeth off of the timing gears.
Got a cracked timing case cover, it's broken a couple of teeth off the timing gear.
The radiator's damaged at the core.
The radiator's damaged at the core.
Got a cracked water pump.
It's got a cracked water pump.
And a fractured injector line.
It's got a fractured injector line.
Well, what does all that mean?
Yeah, okay, but what does that mean?
What does that mean?
24 hours.
24 hours?
They've got 12.
You've got 12!
Okay.
Okay.